Today in the Gospel, we heard about what is relatively a common story in many of the parts of the Gospels, and that is about a demonic possession. We have spoken about those things many times, and we will again. But today I thought it'd be helpful to look at ways in which the devil is an influence in our lives that are a little more subtle. First of all, notice that this boy who was possessed by a demon, the father says he often throws himself into the fire or into the water. If you've ever read any stories about demonic possession, you know that that is the purpose, the end of all demonic possession, is to eventually end the life of that person. The devil is the author of death. But there is another way in which we can talk about death or the dominion of the devil. We can look at, of course, someone who is possessed. We can hear them talk. We can see how they're acting. This person has obviously become basically a puppet of the devil. This demon is able to manipulate this person's life. But how do we sometimes lend ourselves to the puppetry of the devil? How do we sometimes in our lives participate that in maybe a little bit more subtle way? And that is through sin. But it's helpful to talk about what is sin. We often think of sin as breaking some rule, right? God has these rules He's made, and if we break them, then we've sinned. And if we've sinned, then God is mad. And if God is mad, then we get punished. And if He's really mad, then it's eternal punishment. Well, that's heresy. That's not how salvation works. But that's often how we think. Sin is simply not walking in the ways of God. In fact, the word in Hebrew refers to missing a mark. Like if you're shooting an arrow at a target and it kind of doesn't really make it to the center. Okay, so slightly askew from what the arrow was intended to do. So we are intended by God to walk in His ways. And so what is sin? Sin is simply not walking in His ways. That's all. Now, what is the result of sin? Well, walking in the ways of God is to follow God. And so when we turn away from Him, this is what we call sin. If Michelle is walking here in the church or in the parking lot, and I'm following him, I'm walking in the ways of Michelle. Michelle wants to go there, so I go over there. Michelle wants to go to the hall, so I follow him. I am in accord with His will. So where God goes and what God wants, if we walk in God's ways, then we are in what's called righteousness or in relationship with God. But when Michelle says to me, "Father Sebastian, follow me." Okay. So he starts walking toward the hall, and instead I turn around and start walking over here, and he says, "Father Sebastian, where are you going?" "Well, I wanted to see this pretty flower." "Yeah, but I want you to come to the hall with me." "Yeah, but the flower is pretty." So I've decided for always, there's always a good reason, right? The road to hell is paved with good intentions, they say. So we always, when we walk away from God's path, we always have a reason for it, a justification for that, don't we? "Well, I needed to do this," or "Well, I thought it'd be better to do that." And so that is what sin is in the end. It's the breaking of a relationship. When Michelle is walking and I'm following him, I'm in accord with him. And if he wants to say over his shoulder, "Hey, Father Sebastian, isn't that a pretty bird up there?" "Oh yes, it is, Michelle." But if I'm overlooking on the other side of the parking lot at a flower, I'm not hearing his voice. He could be talking, but I'm not with him. And so when I am not with God, when I'm not walking with God, I'm not in communion with Him, I'm not in relationship with Him, then I find the absence of God, and that is death. God is our source of life. And when we are not in relationship to Him, we are out of life. Think of, in a very simple example, an electrical socket and a lamp. All right, or maybe the vacuum. You start vacuuming. They were vacuuming here this morning. There's only a few sockets. And what happens, those of you who are vacuuming, if you get a little too far away from the socket, all of a sudden, the cord pops out and the vacuum stops. The vacuum no longer has its life, its electricity. And that's how it is with us. When we turn away from God, when we walk not in His way, it's like moving too far away from that socket with the vacuum, and before you know it, poof, the cord pops out and there's no more life. The life of God is no longer flowing in us. Now, what does God do as a result of that? Well, He kicks us. He punches us. He spanks us. He gets mad. No, God loves us. He's a loving Father. Like any loving parent, when your child is trying to learn how to walk, when Luca was first learning how to walk and he fell over, honey, did you kick him? No. What did you do? You pick him up and you say, it's okay. And maybe Luca, when he first, are you riding a bike yet? Right, when he first starts to ride his bike, can you imagine if he falls off the bike and Michelle says, you child, what is wrong with you? What parent would do such a thing? No, Michelle would pick him up and help him back on the bike and say, okay, son, let's go again. Right? This is what we do as parents. Now, if you do that for your own children, with the little bit of love that we have in our heart for our kids, can you imagine the great love that God has for each and every one of us as His children? So that when we fall off the bike or we stumble, God looks down on us like, you know, like a parent with a child and says, hey, kid, come on, you can do it. Here, stand up. Let me get you up. And reaching our hand out to God for help is repentance. Oh, Lord, I can't do this without You. Please help me. And He picks us up, dusts us off, and we move on. This is what sin is. And God desires our salvation. Just like any parent desires their children to be in accord with them and to love them and to love them and to live in the house with them forever. This is true love. And this is what God desires for each one of us. Now, when we talk about relationship with God, I think sometimes we think about our relationship with God as kind of a long distance relationship. Anyone have family overseas? Yeah? Right? And Monty, you got family overseas? Right? And sometimes some of these family members that are overseas, or maybe a friend, maybe you're born here in America, many generations, you may have a friend from high school, or maybe a distant cousin that you've kind of grown out of relationship with. You don't see him every day anymore, but you try to call him once a year or something. Well, that's not how our relationship is with God. Although we often treat it that way. Our relationship with God is a long-distance relationship. We call Him up on the phone once a week on Sunday, right around 12 o'clock noon. Right? For a couple hours, we talk to Him, and then we hang up, and we'll talk to God again in another week. Sometimes, tragically, it's not every week, it's once a month. Some cases, once a year, if we're lucky. And what happens in those kinds of relationships? You know, the distance gets farther and farther. And so our relationship with God is not like that, a long-distant relationship. God is closer to each and every one of us as a husband is to a spouse, as a father and mother are to the children, as children are to the father and mother. Our relationship with God is closer than our own knowledge and relationship with ourselves. God knows us better than we even know ourselves. And where is God? Well, He's off somewhere. No, He's not. That's Mormonism. He's not on some distant planet off in the middle of nowhere. God is here. Right here. In each and every one of us. And not just kind of like in between, like air, in between these bodies, right? Here's God here between Emma and Aurelia. And God's over here and maybe here between Phil and Emma. And there's a little bit of God over here. No, God is everywhere. Everywhere. And that means if you've been baptized into Christ, He is not just here, but He is here. He is here. God is manifest most beautifully in a baptized Christian who has been restored to the image and likeness of God. God made man in His own image and likeness. What does that mean? Well, look at the kids. Here's Aurelia. She looks like her parents. Ephraim looks like his parents. We look like God, not physically, but to say that man was made in the image and likeness of God is to say that God made us as His children. Among all of creation, we are a special part of creation. We are His children. And He loves us more than you could ever imagine loving your own child. And so when we talk about sin as a lack of relationship with God, we also need to talk about what is the opposite of sin. The opposite of sin is love. Now, what is love? A lot of funny ways that gets defined in modern English. But love is simply this: God. St. John says in his first epistle, God is love. There are two things that come out very clearly in Holy Scripture about God. He is Father, and He is love. And so when we're in communion with God, when we're walking in His ways, we are love in the world, in the neighborhood, in the workplace, in our family. When we walk in the ways of God, we are love to those around us, as God is present to those around us. St. Paul describes love in this way. St. Paul says, love is patient. This is from the same epistle that we read today. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So what is love? Well, the best definition of love for us as Christians then is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus is patient and kind. Jesus is not jealous. Jesus is not boastful. Jesus is not arrogant or rude. Jesus does not insist on His own way. Jesus is not irritable or resentful. Jesus does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in right. Jesus bears all things. Jesus believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And so Jesus is the manifestation of God. God's love for us in His own image and likeness. And so how do we love then? How can we walk in God's ways? Very simple. We walk in the ways of Jesus. Abuna, that's kind of difficult, you know. I know it is. I struggle with it every day. I'm a sinner like everyone else. But we are called to walk in Jesus' way, and we are not asked to do it by our own power. We're asked to do it by the power of God that dwells within us. Because each and every one of you who have been baptized into Christ have had the hands of the priest or the bishop laid on them and received the Holy Spirit and received Jesus' body and blood in Holy Communion have become temples of the Holy Spirit, more sacred than the Temple of Solomon. You have become love on earth. Through the sacraments, you have become Jesus to the world, the sign of God's love to the world. And so, therefore, if we walk in Jesus' ways, we have a model to look to, and that is St. Paul. St. Paul said in the epistle today, "We are fools as far as the world is concerned. We are weak and are held in disrepute. We hunger and thirst. We are ill-clad and buffeted, homeless. We labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we try to reconcile. And we have become and are now as the refuse of the world." So I ask you, when persecuted, do we endure it? When we are slandered, do we bless? Do we walk in the ways of Jesus? We just celebrated this week the feast of the Dormition of the Mother of God, who is a perfect example of this kind of life. Mary walked in the ways of her Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary died like her Son. And Mary was raised on the third day like her Son. And Mary was taken 3 days after her death into the heavenly abode. This is called the Assumption or the Feast of the Dormition. And so when we struggle, and I do every day, to walk in the ways of Christ, when we struggle to live up to that high calling we have to be the temple of the Holy Spirit here on earth, in our family, in our workplace, in our neighborhood, at the grocery store, at the post office, on the freeway, during rush hour, when we struggle to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, to be the love of God out there in the world, then we need to remember the Theotokos and ask for her intercession, that through her prayers we may glorify her Son with his eternal Father and his all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.